This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. An opinion piece in the New York Times has stirred up a war of words. According to the Detroit News, an emergency room doctor at the Hurley Medical Center in Flint persuaded the majority of his physician colleagues to ban using the words lead poisoned to describe exposure to lead from drinking Flint water. That doctor, Hernan Gomez, co-authored the New York Times piece. He argues that labeling Flint's children as poisoned, quote, unjustly stigmatizes their generation. Dr. Gomez was a guest on Stateside on July 23rd. Here's a clip from that interview of him describing his analysis of lead levels in Flint children.
We found that in analyzing all these years, that the actual increase in Flint children could not be differentiated from what occurs randomly year to year. We're not claiming that the coincidence of the increase in the reference range may be due to the water, but we're trying to place it in context. It was no higher than what has occurred randomly in Flint in the past.
With us now is Dr. Lawrence Reynolds. He's a pediatrician in Flint and a member of Governor Snyder's task force on the Flint water crisis. In your opinion, were the people of Flint merely exposed to lead for 18 months, or were they poisoned by a known toxin for 18 months?
Well, first of all, let me say I've been a staff member of the Hurley Department of Pediatrics for the last 26 years, and I recently retired. Secondly, I've been a resident of the city of Flint for the last 26 years and was one of those customers of the Flint Water Department who consumed lead-tainted water for 18 months, despite the reassurances that everything was fine. Now, as a pediatrician, my concern is when you drink lead-tainted water and ingest it and incorporate in your body and it affects cellular and organ function, if that's not a definition of poisoning, I don't know what is. So essentially, they have made a distinction without a difference. And I understand that when we start talking about environmental health issues, that many of us don't have the training or the background or the lived experience to make that assessment.
Now, words matter, and overgeneralization, as Dr. Gomez has suggested, is a problem. Not all children were exposed to the same levels of lead. Not all Flint children will suffer the same level of damage. But banning the words lead poisoned and substituting lead exposure makes it all seem very benign. How does that affect the politics of this situation?
Well, the politics of the situation are wrapped up in a couple of things. One is the issue of environmental justice, and that is, why should one community suffer adverse effects from policy decisions while other communities are spared those adverse effects? The other issue is environmental health and the idea of health in all policies. So when an action is taken by an unelected government, a state-appointed emergency manager who ignores the complaints of citizens, the action of the city council to change the water source, you have a disaster, which is what we had.
Well, I guess I want to get back to this language, because if the language makes it seem like this is more benign than it actually is, it's important to the politics, because the Flint water debacle, if it's diminished, the politicians won't feel the same urgency to make the changes to work to reduce not just the lead levels in water, but maybe do less to reduce lead exposure from poisoning in old lead-based paints and homes and things like that. So do you think the words really matter in the long run?
Without a doubt. You know, I have to talk to my neighbors, my friends, and members of my household when they ask about the water, and it minimizes their concerns. The lead problem in Flint was just one component of a water crisis. We had bacterial problems, we had Legionella problems, we had disinfection problems, we had byproducts of disinfection problems. So I think that Dr. Gomez's reworking of a statistical analysis does not reflect the full range of factors that affect individual health or community health. And I would like him to stand there and discuss with our patients that lead was not a problem. Lead is not a poison. Don't worry.
Yeah, I don't think he said it wasn't a poison, but at the same time, he seems to be diminishing its impact because of data he's looked at. I want to give an example, because you brought up this in a Detroit News piece. You noted it's easy to imagine a general pediatrician such as yourself telling parents, well, if you cannot breastfeed, bottle feed using formula, which of course would be mixed with water. Flint water, several times a day. So what kind of impact would that have on a baby getting daily doses of lead several times a day for the first 18 months of its life?
Well, let's back the question up and say, what parent would knowingly give their newborn and their infant formula mixed with lead-tainted water 5 to 8 times a day? No parent in their right mind would do so. And why would they not do so? Because what are the words in their mind? Lead is a poison. So here we have a cohort of children who are not subject to the usual blood screening that's required by Medicaid and standard practice. That screening occurs when the children start crawling, walking, doing hand-to-mouth things, and it pertains to the ingestion of paint chips, licking of lead dust off their fingers, or dirt that's contaminated by lead. So the whole sample, or most of the sample, for blood lead levels was made for older children long after an exposure such as this would occur, because the half-life of lead in the blood is only 28 to 35 days.
So you're saying that if they were tested later, we wouldn't know how much lead they were actually exposed to, so the damage might have been done without the telltale high blood lead levels.
Yes. The ingestion and incorporation of lead into the brain, where it can reside for as long as a year, and in the bone and the teeth, where it can reside for decades, is not assessed. So we really have no idea what the actual body lead burden is. Dr. Gomez's article does not address the problems of chronic low-level lead exposure. It does not address accumulation.
Let's bottom line this. Why do you think the majority of the physicians at Hurley Medical Center, these are people you probably know, why did they go along with this proposal to ban the words lead poisoned?
You know, I wish I knew. What comes most readily to mind is that they perhaps don't have enough training and experience in environmental health to make that assessment, and were swayed by the opinion of one or two physicians who published this article.
Dr. Lawrence Reynolds is a general pediatrician in Flint and a member of Governor Snyder's task force on the Flint water crisis. Thanks for taking a moment with us.
Thank you.